Eco Leader Academy is a remarkable program. We've had leaders from the Academy here with us before. Rather than my telling you about it, Ayushi is here. And I'm going to let you please introduce yourself as you would like to. If there's anybody you would like to acknowledge or give a shout out to, this is a perfect time to do that. And then we'll talk a bit about the Academy and what you've accomplished.
Okay, that sounds great. So my name is Ayushi. I'm a junior at North Allegheny. And I recently participated with the FIPS EcoLeader Academy program, as you just mentioned. I would like to shout out Alyssa. She was our cohort leader, and she organized the entire thing, made it an amazing opportunity. So I just wanted to take a second to thank her. So the entire program, the premise of it is to teach our next generation and show them the path to leadership. Where it's the main message that we try to portray there is that we can start leading today in the efforts we're really passionate about. Where we don't need to wait till we get to college or till we're in our professional industry to start making a change and making the impact we want to see in our community. So the entire aspect of the EcoLeader program is it brings together the next generation who's really passionate about our environment and about environmental policy or environmental makeup, bringing us together, helping us learn from each other, helping us learn from professionals in the field, and starting to make an impact in our community. The program met once a week for a couple of months. I believe it was 2.5 months, so around 8 to 9 sessions. And then at the end, we met with a couple other programs who also have a similar effort in the Pittsburgh metropolitan area. All of us came together. We were all youth, actually. We came together, presented some of our findings from the summer, some of the stuff we learned, and we really just got to learn from other leaders and other people who are really passionate in their own sense about the environment. At the end of the day, it was all about how we could make an impact today. So some of the stuff ranged from start recycling more and moving away from single-use plastics because we learned about how terrible they are for our environment. On the other hand, we learned about some of the economic implications, where we learned about how certain climate policies or climate solutions can help our economy or hurt our economy, weighing the pros and cons of everything to see the larger introspective of the entire situation. So it was a really holistic approach to how we can see ourselves in our future, helping our environment.
How would you define leadership?
I think leadership can take two main roles in a lot of people's eyes. The first is that with a title, where you know you're leading a bunch of people, you have this position where you are shaping a certain group of people and their actions. In that sense, you're sort of leading an initiative. On the other hand, and a lot more of what EcoLeader stands for, is leadership in everyday life, where you might not have a title or you might not have the backing of hundreds or thousands of people, but you're still putting yourself forward and taking an initiative to change your life, maybe your neighbor's initiative, or you're helping some small community startup make whatever they want to see possible. So EcoLeader stands for the more everyday sort of leadership, where you might not have a title, but you're still making a change in your community.
It sounds... One thing I'm inferring from what you said in the latter definition, it's being proactive to achieve or create conditions that will lead to the achievement of a goal as opposed to reacting to a situation. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that because it kind of piggybacks on the idea that our next generation is super passionate about a lot of the stuff we do. So we love to take on that proactiveness, as you mentioned, and start making a change in our community before our community actually feels the need for it. So I do agree with that proactive sense.
Among your peers, and you go to such a large school, but you get a chance to interact with a lot of people. How well understood do you think environmental issues are? And I'll just to, I think, make the question a little bit more fair, maybe you want to even go to adults as well, whether you think people understand some of the issues that I suspect you're very passionate about, such as climate change or recycling or toxic issues. What are your thoughts about that? I think conventional wisdom is everybody gets it, but I have a feeling that's not what you're seeing.
Yeah, definitely from a big school. I think it's like 800 kids in every grade. So definitely a huge like reach and a huge understanding of our demographic. And there, I think that we are starting to see a lot better of an understanding with the newer generations, because it's being tied into a lot of our curriculum starting in elementary school, where we get to learn about, like you said, recycling or climate change, something from the water cycle to how our recycling plants actually work. We're seeing a lot more of that implemented in education. So we're definitely seeing a more wide-scale understanding of the issues. But I do also see the fact that despite us seeing this in education, we see a lot more blanket statement education rather than specific issues or specific solutions, where we learn about the water cycle, but then we might not learn about how we affect our water cycle, or we might not learn how we're polluting our water cycle. Then the next steps there would be, how can we actually start implementing that and teaching that? So again, tying that back to FIPS, we're seeing it. We actually learn a lot about climate advocacy communication, where all of us come together. We're around 30 kids through both cohorts. We have around 30 kids who are super passionate about however many things they're passionate about. And we know this at a super high level. We might know exactly how, say, the Krebs cycle works, or we might know exactly how the water cycle works in the Pittsburgh area. But then conveying that kind of scientific information to, like you said, the next generation or students is a lot harder for some of us, because we have this like super in our head deep understanding, and we're trying to convey that to people that might not have heard or have the same background in all of that information. So a big stressor here was how to boil this entire like huge industry into something that our next generation and our peers can understand. And I personally see a huge increase in the amount of understanding and the amount of importance that my generation is starting to give to this. I see multiple clubs in my school that are around climate policy, and there's actually, through the FIPS organization, there's the Youth Climate Advocacy Committee that runs throughout the entire year, and they meet once a week. They get to create their own project and then present that to our community. So I'm seeing a lot more action where we're trying to reduce that divide between those that understand and know all of the science behind it and the general community who's actually going to make that huge impact that we hope to see.
Ayushi Vardhan, did I get your last name
correct?
Ayushi Vardhan is a junior at North Allegheny High School. She joins us today as one of the leaders at the FIPS Conservatory Ecolater Academy. Let's talk about this academy and how it works. You mentioned before that there were weekly sessions to learn, but I know it ended with a big festival, I think, right? What was that like?
Yeah, so the festival was almost a science fair tabling kind of experience, where each of the Ecolater cohort leaders got to create their entire project, in the sense that it was almost a trifold with general understanding and information about something we're passionate about and that we researched a lot of. Then we got to table that to other students in various organizations. So we had another four organizations join us at FIPS in one of their presentation rooms, and we had a tabling event where the FIPS students got to present their research, in the sense of, here's a rundown, here's what we're doing in our community, here's how that's making a difference. Then other community organizations also showed their own initiatives. For example, one of the organizations actually runs the PNC Park Garden. So they talked about how they run that and how that's helping them better understand their environmental footprints.
Wow. Well, tell me about some of the other initiatives that were displayed there, especially ones that you found particularly interesting.
So throughout the entire organization, we had a bunch of speakers come that represented various organizations. Then the three biggest youth ones in the Pittsburgh area, I can't recall their names off the top of my head, but they joined us at this final festival, as you mentioned. And one of the really interesting projects to me was, again, the PNC Park one, where they run a community garden where they don't use pesticides, they use recycled water, and they grow a bunch of plants that a lot of the players who play at PNC Park actually get to eat before they go out and perform to the best of their abilities. I found that really cool. And then another one was a community garden that they started in more of downtown Pittsburgh, where it's a couple of smaller communities coming together and growing enough food that not only are they able to sustain their own families, but they actually donate that to people in need as well.
What a great project. What is one that you were involved with personally?
Personally, so my project was all about air quality in the Pittsburgh area, and the reason we kind of chose this to cover is because Pittsburgh has had a very spotty history with our air quality, considering we were this huge industrial hub less than 100 years ago. We had all of these steel factories and steel mills, so our emissions were crazy. It was, while we were researching, we actually found out that Pittsburgh used to almost never see the sun, in the sense that when walking around in the daytime, they had to actually keep all of our streetlights on. We weren't able to turn them off even in the daytime because of the amount of smog coverage that stopped sunlight from beaming through. So it was really interesting to me to see us coming from this kind of industrial time point where we were super where we didn't have the same policies we have today, converting it into what we have today, where Pittsburgh is a super green initiative of a city. We have organizations like FIPS. We have organizations like the Summer Grow Project, where they're looking to try and increase our community awareness. We have gardens throughout the entirety of Pittsburgh. We have, actually, interestingly, I found this very interesting when we were learning about this. There's something called living buildings. I believe there are currently 31 or 32 across the entire world. And FIPS actually has 2 of the 32. We got to tour the entire place and learn how it works. So in that sense, our entire project was about the timeline shift in Pittsburgh of what policies and what projects made it possible for us to come from this industrial haven to today's green and pretty sound environment.
What is a living building?
Right. So a living building is a building that is carbon neutral, doesn't require energy from the grid, where they may like pull energy from it, but they also produce enough to counteract that. So basically, they're carbon neutral. They don't take energy from the grid, where they're net zero with the grid, sometimes even feeding into the grid. There's a lot of sunlight and plants kind of tying into the entire building, helping it act as a community center that builds around not impacting our environment around it. So the ones at FIPS specifically, they have a lot of the natural foliage you would see around Pittsburgh. They grow a lot of that. They use that as water treatment facilities. They have solar panels to counteract their energy system. And rather than using air conditioning in the summer, they actually have a bunch of really cool strategies to try and minimize as much air conditioning as they can use. They actually only have one overhead light in the entire building, and they only turn that on at night whenever they need to. Rather, they have a bunch of windows using this really cool refraction technique. They are able to, even if they have like the longest, largest room with windows on one side of the room, they're able to filter sunlight and reflect it to the opposite end, so they never have to actually turn on their lights.
That's incredible. You can learn more about the Eco Leader Academy. It will run again, I'm sure, this year if you go to phipps.conservatory.org, phipps.conservatory.org. That's the website to go to. I'm curious, Yushi, what you might like to do. You seem to be passionate about a lot of different areas. Have you thought about what you might like to do after high school?
Funnily enough, that's something I'm kind of struggling with myself, where I'm passionate about STEM. I absolutely love the sciences. I love math. I'm actually currently I'm kind of obsessed with calculus a little bit. So I really can't narrow it down. At one point, I was really, really into medicine, and I shadowed a bunch of doctors. I did a bunch of volunteering in hospitals. I think last summer, I might have spent over 100 hours in hospitals, and I was really into that. But then I also really got into the engineering and like maybe even the environmental engineering aspect, where you have such a large impact on the industry that it's really hard for me to narrow down what I want to do. So that's something I'm spending a lot of time doing right now, where I'm going and talking with a lot of different professionals, and I'm working to understand what I want to do with my life.
I think that's really natural, and you may well feel like that throughout your life as you change and as the world changes. If you could change something immediately or persuade people to behave in a certain way or act differently for the good of the environment, does something come to mind? It looks like you almost immediately had a thought when I said that.
Okay, my initial thought was like, that is such a large and like really impactful statement. So I'm gonna have to think about this for a second. That is a hard question.
It could be something relatively small. I might, were it me, encourage people to better understand their watersheds and where storm drains go, and just understand of the consequences of that. Another one is littering. I'm still just amazed at how many people continue to litter without thinking of the overall consequence.
Littering is a really, really big one. I think my blanket statement, one thing I would ask anyone who has the ability to do is, because all of us are coming from very different backgrounds and we can't all have the same level of initiative, I ask us to just go into our community and try and find out what our community actually needs. Because all of our little, all of our suburbs, all of our boroughs, as you mentioned, we all have very different needs. Some need better water quality. Some need an improvement in air quality because they're right next to factories. Some need better general policy. I want to ask that everyone has power in our government and we all have the ability to make a change. So I would say, if you see a need in your community, talk about it and try and make a change with that.
Have you thought much about environmental justice with respect to the issues you just mentioned?
I have, actually. Interestingly enough, I'm super into debate. I've been debating since I was maybe in fifth grade, so it's been a good 6 or 7 years. And that's how I got into climate policy in the first place, where that was one of our topics in, I think, the eighth grade. It was about urbanization in sub-Saharan and Western Africa. And I learned this really big thing that kind of just changed my view of our environment. The Saharan Desert is growing at a rate of 5 kilometers a year, and it's pushing southward into all of their agricultural systems and all of the area where millions of people rely on that agricultural area, but we see desertification, which is completely obliterating that natural environment. I found that crazy, that deserts can grow at that fast of a rate and eat up into that much agricultural space. So since then, I've been really into the idea of climate policy, and I've tried to make an impact in my own community through standing up, for example, at like a school board meeting. I might go up and talk about our recycling, where North Allegheny recently just implemented more of a recycling agency, sort of, where up till now, a lot of community organizations and just general areas didn't have specific recycling requirements or specific recycling methods. But we're recently seeing an increase in implementation of separate rubbish versus recycling, where there used to be separate bins, but oftentimes they were mixed. So now a lot of community areas are starting to make it more of a point to actually keep them separate.
And even better is not generating it in the first place. If you can do that. It's really been wonderful to speak with you, Ayushi. Is there anything else you'd like to say that you didn't get a chance to? We just have another minute or so.
Yeah, I would just kind of like to leave everyone with the final message of, you don't have to wait to make a change. If you see an issue in your community, if you see something that you want to change and you feel really passionate about, I'd suggest, even if you don't have a backing or you don't have the community platform, maybe just go and talk to a neighbor, talk to a friend. Start something small in your own house, if not your community. Maybe you're really passionate about waste or about recycling. Maybe start composting. Maybe start a composting bin in your community. Even if you're starting small, if we get hundreds of people to back a small initiative, if we get hundreds of people to start doing little things, we're going to see a huge impact. And that's kind of a message from a lot of environmental scientists. If we all come together and do the little things, we're going to see a big change.
That's Ayushi Varden, and thank you. I hope we'll see you again sometime to talk more about what you're doing. It's been great to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Learn more about the FIPS EcoLeader Academy, which I suspect will start up again in the spring. FIPS.conservatory.org is the website.